Hello, everybody. Welcome to Weekly Trash, the safe place to cleanse your mind, body, and soul of all that trash you consume this week so you can consume some more tomorrow. I'm your host, Josie Van Dyke, and I am sitting next to the one, the only, Jenna Rammel, everybody. Jenna, how are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
Thanks for coming on Weekly Trash.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited. I have followed you since that one post in 2019 that I shared with you, and I've been a fan ever since. And then I stalked you for your promo video. And I obviously, your Instagram handle is Jenna's Kitchen, which it never really clicked to me why it was Jenna's Kitchen until I went back and stalked you. And I was like, oh, this bitch did recipes. Like, she was in the kitchen. Jenna's Kitchen.
Yeah, I've thought about changing it. I really have because people think my last name's Kitchen or they think they're going to get recipes. Yeah. And I do think it's confusing.
It's fine.
It's how I started was sharing Whole 30 recipes, which is hysterical to me because it then created disordered eating for me. So I'm kind of like, I should probably let this go.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Now I see it as like you're in my kitchen. My actual kitchen,
your life.
Which is just the heart of my home and like where I want my homies and my friends to be. And I'm cooking for you. Yes. That's still who I am.
Yes.
But recipe cook blogging is tough. I mean, you have to have the right lighting and it's just not.
Couldn't be me. I'm a DoorDash. Mine would be we're Josie's Chick-fil-A. DoorDash credit.
Exactly.
Like that's it would be.
Yeah. The more kids I've had, the more I'm like, I'm cooking twice a week at best, maybe three times if I'm being a star, you know? Yeah,
that's still good.
I'm trying.
You're trying to do a great job. But so. I want to do a dumpster deep dive on you. Well before you got on Instagram and started sharing Whole 30, we need to know who Jenna Rammel is. So
cool.
Jenna, where are you from? Today's dumpster deep dive is brought to you by Thread. Let's dive into practical style with Thread. They've given the classic leather wallet a sleek update, focusing on simplicity and embracing the mission to carry on. Thread is your go-to for all things carry and self-expression. Now, let me share why I'm hooked on Thread's essentials, like the vertical wallet, wrist lanyard, lip balm holder. There is nothing worse than digging through your bag full of random stuff, so I cut out the chaos with Thread. The vertical wallet is my go-to solution, and the wrist lanyard and lip balm holder make everything I need just one reach away, simplifying my life and keeping me organized. And as a mom, I need that. So check out the entire collection, including these must-haves, at threadwallets.com, where functionality seamlessly meets fashion with Thread. Use code WEEKLYTRASH for 20% off your purchase. And thanks, Thread, for sponsoring today's episode.
That's always a tough question for me because I was born in Rhode Island. Okay. I'm adopted.
Yes.
My parents were going to graduate school at Harvard in Boston.
Very smart.
And very smart people. And it's a long story that we don't need to get into, but basically a social worker in Rhode Island knew a social worker in Boston, and together they found me and matched me with my parents.
So your birth parents were the Harvard or your
adopted parents?
Adopted parents.
Yeah. Okay. So I was – no, my birth mom was 14 when she got pregnant with me. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
In Utah?
In Rhode Island.
In Rhode Island.
Yep.
So this all was in Rhode Island.
Yep, all on the East Coast. So I was born in Rhode Island, and then my parents were in Boston at the time.
Gotcha.
They started this adoption process, and my dad began work in the Middle East. He's worked in the Middle East his whole career.
Yes, I listened to his episode that you did with him on your podcast, and I learned a lot.
Yeah,
I learned
a lot. He's super smart. So he is a Middle Eastern study Arabic
professor,
guru authority, guru, yes, yeah, expert. And so they were in Egypt at the time. And so they had to come home and get me in Rhode Island. So it's like then proceeded this life of traveling around the world and living around the world. But I always say I'm from Provo because it's where I moved when I was 14.
These are your roots.
We were in and out of Utah a lot. I went to high school in Provo, so it just feels like
home.
I never want to be one of those people from California that like moved when I was two and it's like, I'm from California.
No, that's me. I was born in Orlando, Florida, moved when I was five. People were like, where are you from? I'm like, Florida. They're like, what part? I'm like, Orlando. Where in Orlando?
Do you still do that?
No,
I've heard you say you're from Draper.
I don't do it anymore because I realize it's pathetic, but I feel like I'm a Florida girly. Like I got the tan kind of, not right now. I need to spray it on, but I definitely used to do that. For sure.
Well, it was fun. Like, I feel like everyone in Utah.
Well, definitely in high school, I did it.
Yes. If they could have any roots anywhere else, they were desperate for them.
Desperate.
Like, it doesn't matter that I was only there 6 months. I'm from
so-and-so's place. Yeah.
Florida.
So you have one brother, right?
Yeah.
And he was adopted as well?
Yeah, he's older than me.
Okay.
He's 4 years older than me. He was actually born in Provo, so.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming they probably used then like the LDS adoption.
Yes, at the time, that's what they were using.
Because that would make sense.
Mm-hmm. I was placed through Catholic Family Services. So it's actually so cool how I got to my parents. Like, it really does feel divine. And
it was meant to be.
Totally.
Did you know from an early age that you were adopted? Do you remember when you had that conversation?
Yeah, I actually remember being on the bedroom floor of my parents. You know, my mom was in the bathroom getting ready, and we were just talking very freely about my birth mom. That wasn't the first moment. I was probably like six.
Okay.
It was just always in my life. But that's like my first memory. And they never kept it secret. Very open. They didn't run around telling anyone else, which I really loved. Like, that was my story to tell. They gave me that autonomy. But it was never a secret.
And you most recently had shared that you met your birth mom.
Yes.
Do you mind sharing how that came to be? Because it was recent.
Yeah.
And you're 30?
I'm 38.
No, you are not. Yes, Jenna. I am. You're 24.
Like, I wish I was.
You're not 38. Okay.
I am old. I'm 30. I'm going to be 39 in June.
Wow.
I know.
You're shocking everybody right now. You're breaking the internet.
I am trying to – my next edge is to just step into 40 like with excitement, because I am afraid of it. I feel like people want to be so – excited about it, and I'm terrified of that age.
That's fair. That's kind of how I feel.
Doesn't it sound scary?
Well, I was excited about 30 because I'm 28.
Okay.
I was excited to be closer to 30, and the closer it gets, I know I'm a little baby with three children. What happened? But Utah happened. But I'm like excited, but then I'm like, wait, 30? Like, life goes by so quick. How am I already 30? I remember getting my driver's license. So
I know.
It's crazy. But yes, you met your birth mom recently.
Yeah. So I was, let's see. I guess I was 37 when I found her. And I mean, how deep are we going to get into the story?
Oh, we're deep diving. Okay, cool. Dumpster deep dive. Get in there.
So I haven't shared about it really publicly just because it's a lot. It's like super personal to me.
Of course.
And I'm always kind of navigating. Like, my parents are really supportive. They've been the best, like, so supportive. They knew that this was going to be such an important part of my healing. I think they're probably surprised I didn't do it sooner. Like, I think a lot of people are. I mean,
yeah, 37 is a long time
like
ago. Yes,
like, even my birth mom had said she just gave up hope that I would ever find her.
Because was it completely closed adoption?
Completely closed. I mean, I don't know if they do those now anymore, but like back then, I mean, now I'm like
Instagram,
always seeing
social media,
people like they're at their birth moms or they're like they're coming to their birthday parties. That was like not my experience, like, and looked so weird to me just because it wasn't what I was familiar with. So I know that that dynamic is really healthy for kids, but looking at it from someone who didn't have that experience, that looked so scary.
Yeah, it was very distant thought for you to ever have.
Yeah, I had
no
idea what she looked like. Yeah. She was across the country. So we were actually in Mexico with our friends, like really, really good friends. And I had just gone through a really traumatic lawsuit and situation and a big.
Does that have to do with cookies?
No. No, there might be one that has to do with cookies soon.
Okay. Okay.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Anything's possible in life.
Yeah.
But I was really overwhelmed and just depleted from that experience. And we went to Mexico. We were celebrating my husband's 40th birthday. And one of my really good friends was like, "You're adopted," like with her husband. And I was like, "Wait, really? You didn't know that?" And he's like, "No, I did not know that about you." And I was like, "Oh, it wasn't a secret. It's just the people in my life know. And what else are we going to talk about?"
Yeah.
It
just is. Where do we go? Especially because you don't know anything about
it. I don't know anything. So it's just.
Did you know that she got pregnant at 14 at that point, though?
I thought she was 15 and had me at 16. But it turned out she was actually 14 when she got pregnant. Wow. 15 when she had me.
Wow.
Yeah. Insane. I have a 15-year-old. It's insane.
Wow.
So she's so strong and so amazing. And I admire her so much.
Same.
Like, I always. We're jumping around a lot, but I always had such a deep love and respect for her. Not always. But once I stepped into that.
The motherhood role.
Mm-hmm. Once I stepped into being a mom, I understood
for sure
what that took.
Because at some point, you're probably like, how could she get rid of me? Like, totally. How could she do that? And then as a mom, you understand how selfless that was for her.
Yeah.
To be like, I can't give you what I want you to have at 14, 15 years old.
I know. That's a lot. So we started talking about it on this trip, and he's like, what are you so afraid of? Like, why haven't you found her?
Yeah.
And the way he was saying it, no one had really asked me those questions because everyone just
respected knew, your thoughts.
Yeah, they just knew that I didn't want to find her. I'd had a stint as a freshman in college where I'd written my agency, and then they wrote me back that they had a letter for me, and I freaked out, and I was like I was 18. It was
too much.
And so most of my friends had kind of known that story and just dropped it. We didn't talk about it. So I'd just gone through this big, scary, overwhelming thing that I never thought I could endure or
go through.
And the even bigger, scarier, like elephant in the room my whole life was my birth mom. And so I was kind of just, the seed was planted in me like, well, I can do anything. What am I so afraid of? When you asked me that question,
Were you so afraid of?
Having done like really deep work with this, I would say that I was afraid of being rejected. I would never have been able to identify that again, but to have a second rejection, that happens a ton with adopted kids.
Yeah.
Where they try and go find this missing piece, this hole, this thing they want. And I didn't feel that way. I was in such a fulfilled marriage and family, and I had the best parents. And I was kind of like, what am I looking for?
Yeah.
I'm not going to find it with her or whatever, you know. But I think that's kind of the beautiful part of my story is I wasn't in a desperate place. I wasn't in a place of searching and seeking and trying to find her to fill me up. I wanted to... It was just the next chapter for me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? No, like for I wasn't sure. looking for something. Yeah. So I
And you probably felt like you said, you could do anything at that point. Like you had gone through something that was traumatic in a way, and you were like, I did that. I got through that. What else can I do?
What can I do? Yeah. So I just reached I didn't just reach out. That's not just happened. There's so much to the story. But basically all these things started happening over a week's time. And
because when you want to find your birth mom, what is the first step?
Well, we didn't really know her name. Really? So we knew it, but I'd forgotten it. My mom had told me my mom and I had one time like chipped white out, like white out. Yes. Do you remember? Yeah. Is that even still white out?
It's for sure. It has to be. Do people write on paper?
I don't even know. I don't.
We need to get back on that.
White out, like on this paper, and we chipped it off and found her name. It was very private. Very,
very, very closed.
Yes. And so I had a couple things from her. She had written me a letter. She'd given me a tape with a Whitney Houston song on it because, I mean, she was a baby. She was just trying to express her love in the way that she knew how. Yes. So sweet. So Andrew and I went in the basement and I asked him, I said, did I ever show you these papers? And he's like, no.
He's like, we've been married how long?
Like, we've been married like 17 years at that point. I'm like, okay, it's like, get him out. It's just this weird compartmentalized thing.
For sure.
So one night we got him out and we were just pouring over these papers and finding out stuff that we didn't know before. And it's so like me to just disassociate from that and just put it in a box and walk away from it. You know, some people are so curious, like they have to know everything. That's just not my personality.
Yeah. Which maybe is a good thing.
Yeah. I don't have to know everything. I'm okay with the unknown.
Yeah.
So we figure out her name. We think we figure out her name. And over the course of a couple of days, my friends are involved and they're so encouraging. We have this text going and someone named it Jenna's Quantum Leap.
Love.
And so we're just, you know.
Oh, I love. How'd you do that?
These are texts coming through. That's the sound they make.
Yeah. Right. Can you tell I can't roll my R's?
You can't do that? Did you not my take mom 9 years of Spanish immersion and know absolutely nothing but Uruguay. That?
My mom is from Uruguay, speaks Spanish. My husband served as a mission in Honduras. My whole mom's side is Spanish speaking. That You're was her first language. Can't.
Lessons.
Can't to save my life. Yeah. No, it's embarrassing.
Duolingo is your. I need to. You need to start
Duolingo
learning.
Sponsor the podcast. Teach me Spanish because my mom sure didn't. So let's get on that.
Oh, that's funny.
But text messages are flying in.
That's how they come. So Andrew, my husband, finds her and he says to me, do you want me to reach out? And I said, yeah, actually, that feels really good for me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be, again, I don't want to be in this forward-facing part of the rejection. If I'm going to get rejected, I just want him to tell me nicely. And then we can all forget this happened.
Yeah.
So he writes her this short but beautiful email. And he was just like, I think you're my wife's birth mom. And we've been looking for you. And it was really easy, honestly. The internet makes it easy. Yeah. Once
you have a name.
Yeah.
And like, do you look like her?
People say I look just like her.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I remember I'll send you a picture
and you can ask people. Well, you
shared a photo on your Instagram story, but now I can't remember what it looked like.
Yeah.
She has brown hair?
She's got like kind of blondish hair.
Okay.
It is brown, I think, naturally. I don't know.
But people think you guys look like... That's her name?
That's her name is Geralyn.
Geralyn. Beautiful.
And, yeah. She's going to love listening to this.
I'm excited. Geralyn, hi. Come on the podcast.
She's the best. It took her a day. To ride us back. Yeah, she was in Cape Cod with her boyfriend and like just didn't open. It was a work email. And so I remember Andrew and I went to bed that night and I looked at him and I was like, I was not anticipating a waiting period.
He
said, yeah, same. Like,
yeah.
How are we supposed to refresh? Refreshing all day. And he was like, how are we supposed to sleep tonight? I said, I don't really know, but we did. And then she wrote back and it was just so exciting and exchanging emails and calling my parents and telling them that we had connected and found her. And they were so sweet and so emotional. And it was like we were on FaceTime and, you know, they were just so tender and so sweet and so excited. And I think that's such a blessing have parents that let you have a journey and let you – they inspire me so much to be that way as a parent.
Well, to not take it personally.
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe they are, but they never let it show. They would
never let you know that.
No.
Yeah.
They just have known that that's been a possibility and a part of my process and something I have a right to. I mean, it's that
part
is
part of your journey.
Yeah. That is, think about your connection with your babies and it's a big thing. So
it's huge.
Yeah. Then we FaceTimed and we talked for like 3 hours and she was like, I just thought you would. When you turned 18, I thought you'd reach out to me. Then when you turned 25, I thought you'd – and then 30 and then 35 and I just gave up hope.
Yeah, that would be hard coming from her side too because she doesn't want to step any boundaries. Like if if you don't want to know her, she doesn't want to do anything to hurt you. And so for her to just sit back and be like, I won't – because did she know you? Like did she look for you at all?
No, I don't think actually that a lot of people are that wise. I think that's something I really admire about her is she said she would never try to find me, that she was always going to let that be my decision. And I think that is a really beautiful gift that she gave me because it would have backfired.
Yeah.
If you would have come into my space and, you know, and I don't know if there's any birth parents or birth moms, but that perspective I think is really – interesting because not all adopted children are just sitting there waiting for this fantasy of a birth mom and coming back into their lives. It's actually really scary. At least that was my personal experience. So it worked really well for her to be that way. No, she just thought I was Jenna from Massachusetts. And I had thought for years that if you just – I'd gotten one letter when I was 16 that was waiting for me at the
agency
that I told you about. And it said, Dear Jenna. So she knew my name. My birth name was Nicole. So I knew she knew my name. And I'm like, well, my whole entire life's on the internet. Yeah. If you just Google me, then you can just – I honestly thought she had. I thought she knew exactly who I was. And that kind of soothed me for a few years when I had had questioning and I had wanted to reach out. Or my mom even had been like, do you think you want to reach out? I just thought, oh, she's got to know. And so can you imagine? She then finds out who I am and is –
like wait. Has
years
of
pictures and public documentation that she can just pour over. I mean, it must have been so overwhelming, but.
I bet. Do you have any half siblings?
Yeah. So I have three.
Okay. Yeah,
I do.
And are they all from the same dad?
No. So they're – okay, so my little sister is – and she's not little. She's, I think, 28. Victoria, are you 28? She's the best. And she's from a different dad than me.
Okay.
And then the other two are from the same dad.
Okay. So there's three daddies.
There's three dads.
There's three daddies. when she got pregnant at 14, and I guess maybe I should be asking her this, but that guy, was he 14 as well?
I actually think he was older. If I remember right, he graduated. Like, he was in, I wouldn't know how to answer that. Maybe he was like 17.
Okay.
He was not 14.
It wasn't 14. Because either way, that's still just so.
Yeah.
Either way, it's not good. Like, that's a hard thing to go through.
But she went to school every day until the day before she had me.
That woman is a mentally strong woman.
I know. She tells me, she's like, I didn't care what people thought about me. I was just, I'm proud of myself. And I'm like, why didn't you pass that on to me?
That's incredible.
I had to work through that. That's caring incredible. What people thought about me. And she just freaking powered through.
Yeah, and at such a young, I'm picturing myself at 14.
9 months pregnant? How?
Like, I would have been crippled with anxiety, depression, all the things. I would have just been a mess. And I don't know if I would have made the right decision. I don't know what decision I would make. I don't know what I would have done. I would have just been, I don't even know. Like, were her parents super involved?
They were not super involved, no. And not super supportive, no.
Because that would just be so hard.
Yeah.
That would be so hard.
She had a lot of resistance, a lot of people that weren't happy about that.
Well, good for her. Because look what she made. She made you.
I
mean, she brought you here. She was the little angel that brought you to the earth.
She was. She was amazing. And my birth father, like, denied it was him, all of high, you know, he just made others believe that she had just been sleeping around and she hadn't been.
And to deal with those rumors as a high school kid.
I know.
Or was she even in high school, or was she like in ninth grade?
No, she was in high school.
Okay.
She had to have been a ninth grader.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, that's just, wow.
Yeah.
So you've met her in person.
Yeah.
Since.
Yeah. So we talked on the phone for like a year. And then they decided to come out to Utah last summer. And it was so fun.
How is that?
I mean, I lucked out.
Yeah.
I seriously, they are normal. They're funny. They're fun. They're beautiful. Everyone is just stable and happy and good.
Yeah.
People.
Because your sister and your two brothers, Two sisters, one brother. They all like were raised together.
Yeah.
So you're just kind of walking into this like this family like, hey, what's up? Like, we share blood, but I have no idea who you are.
It's bizarre. It's for sure. We're all navigating it.
Yeah.
And I think everyone's doing it in such a beautiful, respectful, kind way. I remember she was really afraid to tell her oldest, Victoria. And she had wanted to come out and meet me without telling them. And I said, no. I'm not.
They didn't know that she had given a baby up for adoption.
They actually did know. She just didn't remember. It wasn't talked about. So she actually wasn't sure if they knew.
I don't know if I want to bring this back up.
Yeah. Like, it was definitely not talked about.
Gotcha.
And I think the youngest didn't know. It's hard for me to keep track of. It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot of things. But Victoria was just texting me and was like, I am so excited. This makes me so happy. It was so healing to me. Have a sister, I didn't grow up with a sister. Yeah. And so to have two now, it's just a fun navigation of new relationships and a whole new set of people that I get to love and that they get to love me and my kids. And it's really a beautiful experience. It's
probably a little messy sometimes.
But it's really been a good experience.
Was there like this weird moment when you got to like hug her and like touch her in real life? Like, I'm picturing like in the movies where it's like two divine souls come together and it's like like an earthquake happens around you. Like, or was it just like, oh, hi?
I think my soul left my body a little bit because I couldn't handle the stress and the pressure. Yeah. Like, they were all coming to my house. They were all going to stay at my house.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, no, Andrew was like, yeah, you can stay here. And I was like, what? Do you hate my guts? Like honestly. Stress.
Yeah.
He's like, that is not a problem because he's just the most easygoing guy.
Carefree, yeah.
And I've told him that since. I was like, what? But it ended up being the best thing because it just – you can talk and bond in a way that – but, yeah, I mean, it was surreal.
I bet.
It was surreal. I don't think I try not to think about I'm meeting my birth mom because I think I would have just fallen over.
Yeah.
Passed out.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It was a lot.
Was your mom there?
No.
No.
My mom hasn't met her because they were living overseas at the time. They're still living overseas. So I still like walk
on eggshells.
On eggshells. And that's no one's fault. I don't think anyone invites that. I think that's my own insecurities and my own. And I'm an empath, and I am very sensitive to it. And that's why I don't talk about it a ton online. That's why I don't post pictures a ton online. Like, I've, you know, they're a part of my life. I talk to them frequently, and I feel sort of insecure, I guess. Is that the right word about it? Because yeah. I just don't want to hurt people.
Well, and I think that says a lot about you. Like you said, you're an empath, and you're feeling other people's emotions. And as a mom, to think of how your mom is probably feeling, like, it gives you a good idea of like, oh, that is hard. That is a hard thing. And yeah. Even if your mom is super supportive, you know, behind closed doors, it probably is a little hard to know that, like, oh, she got to meet her and I wasn't there and I didn't, you know, like, that is hard.
Yeah. And no one can replace my mom. I mean, no. My whole life, everyone's like, do you want to know your real mom? And I'm like,
she is my real mom.
My real mom is the one driving my ass around town, dealing with my bullshit every day.
Yeah. The one that woke up with me in the middle of the night. Exactly. To bad dreams, all those
things. Like, all those things, you know, just the one that's put in the work, that taught me to ride a bike, that showed me so much love and compassion and kindness. And that always really hurt me, that kind of language, because I was just like, no.
No.
You know, very defensive of my mom.
Yeah. I would be too.
Yeah. And Sherilyn, it's like when she's around, one time, I was like, this is Sherilyn. She's my biological mom. And both her and I were just like, let's not do that. Yeah, let's figure something. Weird. Like, it took too long to say. Yeah. Like, in the middle of saying it, I was just like, I wish I could delete myself from the universe, because I
hated that.
Hated me in that moment. And she's just like frozen. And it was pretty funny. So we got to figure out some terminology, because people know who my mom is. I'm not going to suddenly call her mom.
Yeah. She's like, this
is my friend.
This is my friend.
Yeah.
This is my womb carrier.
Yeah, she'll say, I'm the ovary. That's what she'll say.
Yeah, like, what do you say? That is hard to navigate for sure.
Yeah.
But growing up, you didn't know who she was. Did your brother ever want to meet his birth mom?
No.
No?
Still doesn't.
So you're the only one that has met. Okay, gotcha. And you met when did you meet your husband?
Like, when did I meet my husband?
Yeah.
Oh.
We're switching gears.
Okay, we're switching gears.
Yeah. When did you meet your husband?
Okay, well, we've been married. It was 18 years in November. So it's been 19 years. Yeah.
Did you know each other in high school?
We didn't, but we went to the same high school. Really? We have all the same mutual friends. Like, a lot of like mutual friends, and then like the little sisters of the friends. And they all went on their missions and then came back, and we're kind of like, oh, you guys are hot now.
You're like, wait a second.
What happened? Yeah. So that's kind of what happened.
When you met him and like you get close to each other, how soon would you tell people that you were adopted? Like, was that something that you felt like you needed to tell him right away? Or you're like, that has nothing to do with me, so I'm not going to talk about it with you.
Until, yeah.
Like, how'd that conversation go with him?
I don't remember. I'd have to ask him. That's like such a cool question, because I haven't thought about that in a while. I don't know if he'd remember it, because it just was in the fabric of my life. And I'm sure I just told him.
Just were like, yeah.
Within a first few weeks or whatever.
And was there like a spark between you guys pretty right off the bat, where you were like, I want to marry this guy?
Oh, yeah. I was when I met Andrew, I always wonder with your podcast, like, does the audience know Mormon terms? Because I feel like do reference Mormonism a lot.
I feel like it's 50-50. And if they don't, they figure it out.
They catch on.
Yeah.
I had a missionary. And so he was about to leave. And I met Andrew, and I remember he hugged me, and I was just like, I love you. I loved him at first sight. I really did.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really that way for me.
So how soon did you guys get engaged and married? Did you do the typical Utah?
We were actually months? A year, which is not.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Utah. No.
That is pretty good.
He went and sold alarms. Like, I met him in the fall. It was a football game. So at BYU. And
did you go to BYU?
I did.
Okay.
Did you?
No. I couldn't get into BYU if I tried, Jenna.
I mean, my dad got me into BYU.
Let's
be real. I got
a 1.9 in high school.
Okay? Obsessed.
I was not going anywhere. I wasn't going to college. College wasn't knocking on my door. I wasn't knocking on it. So I was like, no, we're good.
That's great, though. No. It's cool to own it.
What'd you graduate in?
I didn't. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't. I didn't finish.
What were you going to graduate in?
Sociology.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, I've been tempted to call and like figure out because I think it was literally 15 credits, something stupid.
So why did you drop out?
Because we needed to start making money. It was just like a money issue. You're I remember just thinking
young kids getting married.
Yes,
money.
And I sucked at school and it was so overwhelming to me. And then I got married and we were so young. I was 20 when I got married. To juggle all that was too much for me. And I had a lot of shame and embarrassment about that. I didn't have someone supporting my
finances. Like,
suddenly we're on our own.
Yeah.
And we got to pay for everything. It was it was too much for me.
How did you guys do it? Because obviously your life now is not what it was then. So how did you get to where you are now?
It was funny because I was talking to someone last night about this and I feel like I look back on my career and my life and it's all just stepping stones. And I remember thinking, this isn't the way my life is always going to be. I actually dream of something better and bigger for myself and I would just always take the next best step. So I remember I started working at Nordstrom because Andrew was selling alarms and I could move around every Nordstrom. Yeah. You know,
I
like
was a Nordstrom girl too.
Oh, okay. So
what
they
department?
Would like, I mean, I started in lingerie. Oh, sexy. Hello. I mean, the Notori bras are not sexy, but yes, there are some sexy
elements.
They were. Where were you?
VSC.
Fancy.
Individualist.
Fancy. You were designer. With the rich people.
I was with the rich people.
Yeah.
It was not a fun place to be. I would have preferred.
Like, you were selling St. John's suits.
Yeah, it was Max Amara, St. John's, Burberry. The commissions were good.
Obsessed.
Until they returned them.
Right.
A lot of influencers would come knocking on the doors, getting their stuff, taking their pictures and returning.
You'd be like, I see you.
Be like, okay. Well, and I didn't know there's like a list at Nordstrom that they have where if that person comes and shops, do not put your employee ID on it.
That's because, new. I never had that.
Because then when they come and return it, it comes out of your paycheck. So just put it under the Nordstrom ID so that way you don't get hit. I didn't know that. So I was like, I just made $3,000. And then like the next week I was negative $10,000. And I'm like, oh. And they're like, yeah, you should not be ringing her up under your name.
Yeah, we didn't have that back in the day. Yeah,
they had to get smarter once influencing became a thing.
Yeah, because I don't think we were struggling with that as much. Of course, people always were trying.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever work at University Mall, Nordstrom?
No, but I remember it. I can't believe they got rid of it.
Store 32.
I can't believe they got rid of
it. I know. I worked in Savvy and then I worked in customer service. I ended in customer service and I loved.
I feel like customer service.
Gig. It was like kind of just
chill.
Elite.
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't have to deal with.
Well, you didn't have to deal with the commission.
Yeah. Enough. Yeah. And I could be Josie Van Dyke.
Yeah.
Ivo. Did they do that when you were there?
I'm trying to remember what mine was. What was my
when
ID?
They call your name?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what mine was. No, but Nordstrom was a good place.
It was a good place. So I started doing things like that where I just, you know, did the next best thing that excited me and thrilled me. And that moved while he was moving around doing alarms, I would do that. And we just moved a ton and he was doing that sales guy thing.
Sales guy grind.
Yep. Just trying to make it work. And I was, you know, and then I started doing graphic design. I started being passionate about blogging. I remember I was like doing code and learning how to code because I had.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Because I was like trying to make people's Blogspot headers. Do you even remember Blogspot?
Yes. I had one.
Oh, wow.
The Not So Perfect Blogger was cute. My name. I lasted a month.
That's so cute. That's not so perfect. I'm obsessed.
That was the point. And then I literally wasn't perfect. And I said, bye. I'm over this.
You got what you paid for.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just started learning skills that I needed. Like I learned how to graphic design because I didn't have the money to pay for my kid's birthday party invitation. Yeah. And like at the time it was all about the cupcakes and like the toppers on the cupcakes and all these like Etsy sets for these
very personalized, very themed
birthday parties. And I couldn't afford to do that, but I loved throwing parties and I loved making things beautiful. So I learned how to do photography. I learned how to do graphic design. So I just learned how to do the things
that
I couldn't pay for. That I needed to do.
How old were you when you had your first baby?
23.
Okay. Same.
What?
Yeah.
Were we thinking?
What were we? But like,
it's fun
back,
now.
It's great.
I have a
15
year old now. It's so fun.
Which that's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be a hot grandma. That's like my thing.
You're going to be.
I'm like, I could literally be 40 when my daughter gets married. If she gets married at Utah terms, like 18.
I'd never thought about that.
That's crazy.
Quinn, you're not getting married at 18. No, don't listen to this.
No, no, no. Take your time. Go live some life. Yes.
Mature but you a could little. If that's the road if she goes down. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Which would be wild.
No, my nanny's 18 and like maybe going to get married. And I'm like, what are you doing? But also, I did it too.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So who am I to talk?
People will get asked for advice, be like, my missionary's coming home. And I'm like, screw him. Go have fun. Like, yes. But then I have to remember at that point in my life, I was like, no, I want to marry my return missionary. So it's like, I get that mindset. And I'm like, if that's your path, go for it, girl. Yeah. Go for it. But it is so young.
It's so young. And she loves this guy she's dating. And I'm the same way. I'm kind of like trying to be this voice of reason, but like, also they don't care.
No, they're going to do what they want to do. They just want to be in love.
Totally. Whatever. We all did.
We all did. And so you had your first kid at 23. And then at what point do you feel like you guys kind of had it figured out a little bit?
We don't have it figured out still.
Like to the point where you could buy a home.
Okay. So we bought our first home actually before we had Quinn. So right before we had Quinn, we bought our first townhouse. And it was like the day and age of like you would write down what you made.
Yeah.
And they just freaking give you the house.
Yeah.
So we could not afford that house. And it ended up being such a blessing. Disaster.
Oh, but it's like, now a blessing
because we held on to it, but it was tough. Like we could not afford it. It was just a little townhouse in Pleasant Grove. No big deal. But like it was $230,000 at the time. We did not have the money for that. But it was like they just gave you houses. And so, we just felt like, well, this is – you got to have a house before you have a baby. And there's all these steps. And it – we were just passing go when we shouldn't have, but I mean, that's being young. And now we still own that house and it's so great.
Oh, yeah,
but
that's great.
But it's just like, it was tough. It was tough to pay for that for a while. But so I would say we did not have it made when we bought that house. But I feel like we started to step into more comfortable like income when we moved to California, which was 7 years ago. So and not long.
Is that when you started Instagram?
No.
Jenna's Kitchen?
No. So I started a children's blog called Small Fry.
Okay. People were asking me to ask you about that. And I was really? Like, I have no idea what that is. And I found your old personal. Like I did some stalking,
I'm
Jenna.
Obsessed.
I found your old personal page and your bio says, you probably don't even have access to this page
No,
anymore.
I have no idea where it is.
Your bio said, you can now find me at Small Fry Jenna's Kitchen. And I was like, what the fuck is Small Fry?
Is that still public?
Yeah. Because I'll tell you later how I found it. But like, yeah.
Okay.
Because I was looking at people. This is so, I'm so stalkery. Like, it's not okay. But like, if the FBI needs somebody, like, call me. I was looking at people who you follow, who have followed you for a long time. And then I would go to their following. I would type in Jenna and Jenna's Kitchen would come up and then Jenna Rammel would come up. And then I clicked on Jenna Rammel and then that's how I found it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So like, I should be arrested for being
that's
a psychopath.
So crazy. Yeah. So I started Instagramming. When did I start Instagramming? Do you know?
Well, your first post on Jenna's Kitchen was like 2014.
Yeah, but Jenna Rammel was
Jenna
long
Rammel,
before
that,
that.
That one was private, so I had zero access to it.
Oh, okay.
But I know who you follow on that page.
This is frightening in this day and age.
No, it is very frightening. I'm like, my Facebook, I don't go on there because I'm like, whatever I said on Facebook when I was 12, disregard. I don't know what I was saying.
Yeah, it's hard. I told people before, I'm like, it's tough to have such a digital footprint because I am always changing and I am always growing. And
you're learning
we call
every
out
day.
These people for things they said 10 years ago. And I'm like, I'm really just a person here on
trying.
This planet learning alongside you. You know, it's really overwhelming.
Give people more grace.
Yeah, it can everybody. Give me a lot of anxiety if I think about it too long.
No. But yeah, this page was private, so I couldn't see anything.
Well, Jude, my second, was 1 year old when I started Small Fry with two of my friends.
So why Small Fry?
It was a name we came up with, like children's blog.
Okay.
So we made – I mean, if you look at Small Fry now, I am so proud of it. It was editorial kids. It was parties. It was fashion. It was this age of like the hip mom.
Yeah.
And we – I feel like we're really kind of the pioneers of that, of showcasing
For sure.
that on blogs. We worked with huge brands like Gap and Target and Old Navy and Land of Nod at the time, which was huge, and like just had huge, big opportunities. It was really cool. It was with two of my best friends from high school.
That's
and it was
amazing.
Just raising our little kids and trying to make it fun and trying to make it pretty, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. So that came first.
That came first.
And that was bringing in income.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Not a ton.
But it, I mean, so at least something.
Something, to wear. And I would get free stuff. Yeah. And that was at that time so exciting for me. I mean, just to get a free crib or a free baby stroller, like stuff I could never have afforded.
Yeah.
So that was really, really exciting and fun.
So how did it transition into Jenna's Kitchen?
So I started wanting to share my recipes. And I was just doing a lot of that Whole30 paleo sort of vibe, CrossFitting, just psychotic.
Yeah.
It was my psychotic era. And
you talk a lot, which we can kind of like pause on the Jenna's Kitchen, but you talk a lot about your body dysmorphia, body image issues, things like that.
Yeah.
So you were kind of in the thick of that when you started it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm like, here are these pancakes. You just make them out of mashed bananas and wheat, and that's your breakfast.
Love.
But if... It felt healthy to me at the time, and it felt – I was having these babies, and it felt like something I could control, and it did feel good and healthy at the time. I hate to shame myself or gaslight myself for that time in my life because I knew what I knew then, and it felt good to me, and I was getting healthy.
Well, and people still do with quotations. Like Whole30 is still something that's very well known and popular and changes a lot of people's lives in a positive way.
Yeah.
But I think it depends on the person. Like – macros don't work for everybody. Whole30 doesn't work for everybody. Ozempic doesn't work for everybody. Like, it's very personal as to who can do what.
Well, I think that even Whole30, I don't keep up to date with their message, but at the time, it was actually never like, you should keep doing this. Like, they actually encourage you, at least at the time. Yeah. I don't know much about it now. I don't know anything about it now. But it was like a restrictive diet, like for like to find sensitivities.
Oh, okay.
So, but I just took it to another level and was just going to live that way for the rest of my life. No grains, no sugar, no dairy. No. What else is it? It's literally nothing.
It's isn't it things that can only be like put in the ground or like.
I don't even remember. But it just became so obsessive and they don't even intend for it to be that way. It's not meant. So it's not their fault. It was me.
Have you always had that mindset when it comes to food and your body?
What do you mean?
Being very obsessive?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I not always. Like, I don't remember in high school. I remember feeling fat in high school. I always felt fat. That was always
something that you felt.
Some of the time I was like 12, I remember looking at my legs and being like, they're bigger than they should be. You know? It was ingrained. Yeah.
It's awful.
I don't know. Does everyone come that way, do you think?
I was trying to think about it because my mom – got it from her mom, who I don't know if she got it from her mom, but which I'm trying to break the cycle, but it's hard because I sometimes still have negative talk. I try not to say it out loud, but it's in there. It's in there. But I feel like majority of my friends were that way too. So I don't know if there are people that just come out being like,
I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they do, teach me how to make my kids be like that.
Totally.
Because I think you can be positive, but sometimes you're just kind of born, maybe not, but I feel like sometimes you're just kind of born with that negative mindset of you don't like yourself. Like, maybe I'm wrong, but I do feel like even if I had the most body positive mom, the world's not that body positive.
And right.
There would have been something else that would have triggered me to feel this way. So I don't really know how you steer clear from it.
Yeah, I don't either. I actually don't.
Because I can be the best example to my daughter, but that doesn't mean that her friend's mom is going to be the best example, or her teacher, or her dance coach, or I can only do so much.
Totally. She's going to hear those messages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I don't know where mine started because my mom did not talk about her body.
Really?
No.
So yeah, that's proof in the pudding right there that it doesn't, maybe you just come like
she
that.
She didn't ever, I never heard her say one bad thing about herself. So it just happened. So yeah, I don't remember in high school, like I didn't have like disordered eating where I would start, you know, restrict myself but definitely like, ooh, I eat too much or,
gotcha.
You know, I wish I was different, but didn't really know how. And so then when I started to like see people have results doing certain things and I would gravitate towards those things.
Gotcha.
I was always trying to change my body.
Always.
Yeah.
And unfortunately. And Whole30 is, do you feel like that's when it got to a point where you really were seeing so many changes that you became obsessive?
Yeah. And then I was getting, you know, the positive feedback online.
Yeah.
Like,
you look great.
And I was losing weight and I was getting lean and I was working really hard and it I don't know. It wasn't a totally negative thing. No. It's not a totally negative thing. It just ended up being something I had to learn. I had to unlearn.
Yeah.
For myself.
Because as you grew your Instagram, you obviously stopped doing Whole30. Mm-hmm. So what made you stop?
Probably a pregnancy. I don't remember exactly like what made me stop, but I remember just knowing that I couldn't continue talking about body positivity and loving yourself and food with how actually challenging, like the fact that I was not eating food.
Yeah.
All the food. And you don't need to eat all the food, obviously, no. Like to have some level of any kind of weight loss, or if for me at least, even maintaining my weight, I do have to like watch what I eat. Like
for sure.
In a sense, I just wanted to be someone that taught people to love themselves no matter what size they were in.
Yeah. Which I, that's how I found you, is that post. I think it was 2019. You were in Hawaii. What, which baby were you holding?
That's Ruby.
Ruby.
Yeah.
And
my youngest.
You were like, I almost didn't post this photo because I didn't like the way I looked. And at that time, I had just had my first baby. And I was in like that negative, dark, I hate my body. It looks mm-hmm. so different. The stretch marks, the cellulite. And I remember just being like, nobody on the internet feels like this. Everyone is like fit, or they're just body pop. Like no one else is saying that like they feel uncomfortable in their own skin sometimes. And so that post is what like resonated with me so much. And I was like, I will take a bullet for this woman. Like, and you continually shared these raw emotions of how you were feeling. And then you started your podcast, Dear Jenna, mm-hmm. and your second episode literally had me in tears because you said everything I had always been feeling. And I remember something you had said specifically was, my whole life, like I hated my body. Like no one ever hated their body more than I do. You even said you were like, I don't want to like misquote it, but you said something like, people are always like, you don't understand like how much I hate my body. And you're like, no. Like, I promise you, I hated my body just as much. And I was like, wow. Cause like I, at that moment, listening to that episode, I hated my body.
Yeah.
Hated how I looked. And so I think your page, I don't know if you did it on purpose, but your page went from being a food page to like this safe place where women could resonate with you and how you were feeling. And that's why I loved your page. Was that something that you did on purpose, or did it just happen super organically?
No, I don't think anything I've done has been planned. I don't have any strategic, I don't have a strategic bone in my body. I'm just always feeling the energy of what I'm excited about next. And I do have some insecurity about it because I feel like no one knows where Jenna's Kitchen is going. Yeah. Where are we going now? Yeah. It's like kind of a wild ride.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how. I am such a
genuine,
sacral, like I have to just, I do think I'm genuine. I do think I'm authentic. I cannot bullshit. I don't know how to do that. So it's like, I am talking about what I'm in real time. I don't know how to like package it up for you. Same. And be any different than what I am right now. I just have to go dark, or I have to be myself. It's just like, you're going to get one or the other. And I feel like it just naturally went there, where I was just like, I'm not in a season of where I can restrict, and I'm just trying to be okay. I'm just trying to love myself. And that journey started coming before Ruby, because that was a great experience for me, was to finally have a baby and just let myself be in postpartum. That was the first time out of four kids that I didn't just like fight it every single day. And you know what that feels like. It's that self-loathing is so exhausting, on top of being exhausted and not sleeping and nursing all the time and having your emotions all over the place. And then on top of it, you don't even have jeans that fit you. And I was just like, that's when I started talking about like, just wear jeans that fit. Yeah. I'm just going to wear jeans that fit. Yeah. I deserve pants.
Yeah. I remember you did like a post and you're like, how to fit into your jeans. And you're like, buy new ones.
Yeah.
Like, get your size. Stop holding on to those size 24s from your high school days.
Yeah. Like, you're not going to wear those.
Like, you deserve to wear clothes that fit you and that you feel confident in.
Yeah.
And honestly, I feel like when you posted that, that's when I went and bought clothes that I felt confident in. Like,
that's cool.
Really, I think you have brought so much positivity in so many women's lives who have been in that dark place of just self-loathing.
That's I really do. And I do feel some kind of like I was brought to awareness about this, because when you posted that picture and I reposted, I had a couple be like, wait, what did you do? I had no idea you had a like a fitness journey because I don't, I am not that big anymore. I was probably 200 pounds in that picture and maybe more. I actually don't know. Like, I don't know, but I am much bigger than I was
now.
And I feel bad. I kind of feel like, oh my gosh, if I stop tapping into that, because I'm still on that journey of self-love, but in so many ways, it is not that because I have lost weight that I now have self-love. That was coming and that was what I was speaking to much longer before I was thin.
No, absolutely.
You know, and I feel like, is that lost in translation? Like, I hate, kind of hate that.
Really?
Yeah, I do, because of course you love yourself, you're skinny. Well, that's what people think.
Well, because I remember, I'm like, I'm going back to all of your posts that I remember. I'm like, I remember this, I remember this. But I remember you had posted a photo and it was you sitting on the stairs with, wasn't Ruby, maybe it was, I don't know. And you were saying, I saw this very popular social media person who has a great body talk about self-love. And, oh, it's really easy to have self-love when you have this perfect, in quotations, body. And now you kind of have that perfect, in quotations, body. You're fit, you're ripped, you're fast, you're strong. So you're all these things, Jenna. And I think some people might be like, well, yeah, it's easy for Jenna to feel that way. But they don't know that it wasn't just the way you looked. It is very, it's much deeper than that.
Yes. And they also don't know that I still feel that way at times. I still get into my self-loathing cycles. Like, I've been in one the last few days where I'm like, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm not, I'm worthless, I'm such a loser. I still have those moments. I still have to work. Those grooves are so deep that we build.
Yeah. It's not dependent on your weight. It's in there.
Yeah.
It's in there.
It is. And those fit people that you admire, that you think couldn't feel bad about themselves, feel bad about themselves. It is actually something that we all share.
Yeah. And it, you know, like you said, there's motions. Like, sometimes you don't feel it at all. Sometimes you feel really positive and happy and you do feel strong and you do feel fit and you do feel all those things. And then all of a sudden, who knows what it is, your period, your emotion, something hits and it's like, oh, actually, I know I am the same person I was yesterday, but I don't like that girl anymore. Like, yeah. I'm over it.
I had someone tell me they like screenshot like photos when they're hot, when they feel hot.
Oh yeah.
And like text people send them when that are nice. Uh-huh. And they have them in an album and they're like, when they're in those low points, they like visit the album and they're like, wait, that's, I am her.
I am that same person. I'm that same person. Just feel hot in that photo. Yeah. Feel confident in that photo.
And I used to feel like I was just more relatable when I was bigger. Like, that's been a challenge for me now, is kind of like, am I wearing this mask that like makes me untouchable,
unrelatable? Yes,
like when I was struggling financially, when I was bigger, when I was, when I hated myself more, when I, like, there's something about that, like that dimming of that light, that it's like, oh, I'm more relatable. You'll like me more if I'm smaller. Yeah, people will
gravitate towards you.
Like, smaller feeling.
Yes.
In myself.
No, I got what you're saying. No, that's so real. That feeling is so real. Yeah. There's a creator that I follow. Her name's Jill on TikTok. Jill After Dark is her thing. And she has had a huge body transformation. She was probably in her like 400 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And now she's probably 140. She's 5'2". So it's very,
it's a huge notice.
She just got like loose skin removal. And she posted this TikTok showing her fit checks when she was bigger. And she was like, people loved this fit check. People loved this fit check. But now that I do fit checks in this body, I'm just flaunting, or I'm not relatable. And I can't be what I am now without people attacking me for it. Where back then, people were so proud of me for posting the fit checks in my 300-pound body. But now in my 140-pound body, I can't post a fit check.
That's a bummer.
And it's true that people have that feeling. And even with finances, like you said, like, people love to support an underdog. They love it. And then that underdog becomes successful. And now it's, she's not relatable. She's gotten a big head.
She's gross. Yeah.
It's like, are you fucking serious? Like, you can't win.
Yeah, it is. You really can't win. Frustrating. It's hard.
It is hard.
Yeah. To feel like you want to be less of yourself. You want to be less. You want to
dim your light.
So that you will like me more.
Yeah.
You know, and as I've done that journey of overcoming the people pleasing, that's what I've had to step into, is like, I'm proud of me. I'm proud of what I've overcome, and I don't want to go back there, and I'm not ashamed of that.
Good. Well, I'm glad that like you feel that way, because I do admire you a lot. And so I want to get to a point where I'm like, I'm not going to dim my light. I'm happy with where I am, and I don't, that's okay if I'm happy, like, but I don't want to dim it. Yeah. But I do want to talk about, because you are very successful, not only in social media. I know you've stepped back a lot in influencing, but the Daily Essential Co. Like, you are a baddie with a freaking badass business that changes women's lives, and men, if men use it too. But how did that start?
So I started Skin Bay, was like this. It was like a joke. I named Skin Bay. Do you remember Salt Bay?
Oh, yeah.
The guy?
Yeah.
We were obsessed with him at the time, and we'd been to Turkey and like gone to his restaurant and tried to find him. And we were just obsessed with his silly videos.
Yeah, it's fun.
And so I was like, oh, it's like Bay for your skin.
Yeah.
And that's what I named. Before
anyone else.
Yeah. I'm like, just Skin Bay, you know? And so I had perioral dermatitis, which is like a condition of your face, which a lot of women over 30 deal with. Like, it is crazy. We see it all day, every day. It's like redness around your nose, redness around your mouth. Looks kind of like acne, like flesh. The word flesh is so hard, but like flesh colored, like zits that never really come to a head.
Yeah. So you can't really pop
just a quick
them,
description. Yeah. So, and I was very much in the essential oil world. I was building a business with doTERRA.
Yeah. Yes.
So that was kind of my first entry into like really. I mean, I did the blog, I worked with the brands, and then I started doing network marketing. I mean, I've just done so many things.
Not at all. You've lived a million lives.
I really have. I'm like, is it normal?
That's why I was like, this podcast might be 10 hours long. I know. I have so many things to ask you. So if I'm going back and forth, it's because my brain is just like, it's like the text messages.
Exactly.
I can't roll my R's. So I'm just going to like spit so into the microphone.
I don't know if it's embarrassing that I've had so many lives, but I do feel like I've been 100 people.
Yeah, you've done so many things.
So I was really in the oil world, building that network marketing business, having a lot of fun with that and building a team and just in a business I'd never seen myself, but really, really happy in. It was really a cool time. And all the oils that people said would work for like acne and skin were way too harsh for dermatitis, for this condition. It's just so fickle. So
fickle.
I
like that word. That's a big word.
It's a fickle. Fickle. Do I seem smart?
You do. Cool. You really do.
Yes, that's the point.
Fickle. Word of the day. What does it mean?
Picky.
Okay. Love it. Fickle.
Unhappy.
I'm going to use that word an obnoxiously amount.
Okay, cool. So I created Skin Bay because I was just testing all the different oils and like what it would do for my skin and how I could, sorry.
No, you're good.
How I could make it work for myself. And so that's how I came up with Skin Bay.
And the crazy thing is like you literally made them in your kitchen.
Totally.
And your name is Jenna's Kitchen.
Yes.
Full circle.
Wow.
That's crazy. So you, no, cough it out. Take a drink. Take a drink of your Diet Coke. Is that Diet Coke? What is that? You're a typical Utah girl through Diet Coke. I hate soda. I'm a water girl through and through. Drinking our drinks.
Look how ugly this is. I would normally be a little bit more classy.
Hey, I got you a hydro jug. You can just pour it right in there.
I love the hydro jug.
Listen. I had water in it.
Did you know I sold a cup?
You sold a cup?
I sold the first Stanley cup. I'm not kidding. I had a white cup, stainless steel. With a straw.
What was it called?
Just Add Water.
What? Why didn't you continue that?
I'm surprised
that?
You didn't see that in the deep dive. I'm shocked.
I am actually shocked as well.
Because I'm not kidding. It was white. It insulated your water. It kept your ice cold.
And why did this light dim?
Because one time I got a run and it was all gray and I had to pay for it. The entire run was slate gray. Like not a cute gray. Like it was supposed to be bright white. It was gray.
Honestly, you could have still got, you could have sold it.
We could have made, we sell it.
We could have made it like a fun new color exclusive
something.
When it sells out, it's gone.
Yes. It disheartened me though.
Gotcha.
It really made me not want to do product.
Yeah.
And now I run into these problems every day and I just, it's like my life. Yeah.
How did the transition go from, you know, doing it in your kitchen and making the ingredients how you want it to now having a full ass freaking, because you had a house, you had that house that you,
so
like
we had our original townhouse, we're back to this place,
yes,
and we produced it and we did a couple small runs and we were just like, hey, we have 100 or we have 150 and we were just like, Andrew and I and little brother and babysitter and like I didn't
just
have
it in little chemist
employees, yeah, we were just like filling bottles, like just sending them off in the mail. Yes, totally crazy. And so we did that a few times, and then we eventually started just like producing more and selling more. We used to sell them in kind of like runs. Like yeah. we were just kind of like, we have this much.
Yeah.
Like buy it and it's sold out. So it was sold out a ton at the beginning.
Truly sold out. Sold out. Not like yeah, the, no, it's now sold it's out. Is yeah. it? You have a whole container full of them.
Well, now I'm actually sold out of Sealeronic right now. That is real. We yeah. don't believe in that business model for us because either. We're a skincare company. So yeah. we don't want to have drops yeah. for your skincare. We want you to be able to have your skincare.
Yeah. That'd be like having drops for like baby formula. It's like, yeah, okay, it's baby like, formula drops at midnight. All these moms are like shaking. Like, no, I need it now. I need it now.
I've always thought, I'm like, I want to implement this because it's like yeah. working for people.
Oh, it totally works.
And it makes me so insecure because I'm just like, I'm not.
It's a great marketing strategy. Yeah.
I got to have a drop. And then I realized people want to have the skincare they love. It needs
to be consistent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So we have, anyway, that's a whole nother story, but keeping things in stock and keeping things rolling and manufacturing and that cadence is always such a challenge for us.
For sure.
And we're always learning. But
you grew big enough to where you had to go from space to space.
Yeah. So then we moved over to the townhouse and nothing is, when you look at someone's business, it's never, like it didn't start that way.
Yeah, no.
It just didn't start that way. And so you just have to do that next best step and just well, the focus businesses on that.
That do start that way. Like I've seen people just go full throttle. They invest all this money into this business and the product might be kind of shitty.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the brand itself is not that great. And it's like, you don't need to start with the best. You need to work your way up there and learn as you do it so you can learn from mistakes and get to a place where you're like, oh, I did this. We started from here. We worked our way up. And in their ways of working up, you learn so much. You have to do that. You can't just like start here because then you learn nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta work your way up.
Yeah. Start with something that you love. Yeah. Like that's my biggest piece of advice is because when it gets bad, when it gets dark, when it's like, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. I don't know how I'm going to sell this. I don't know what I'm going to do next. You have this thing that you believe in. And that's something that I've always stuck to with online is that I've always shared what I believe in and who I am. And I feel like people get that. People hear that from me.
Yeah. It goes back to you being genuine.
I believe in our products.
Yeah.
All the day. I will not sell something I don't believe in. I can't do it. Don't know how.
So when you were in the townhome, how many products were you selling at that point?
Probably like 4 or 5 SKUs.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit more. We still only have like 10 SKUs. We don't have a ton.
But you are, when I think of Gosha, was that what it's called? Uh-huh. I think of you.
That's nice.
I need you to teach me. It's awesome. I've watched your tutorials and I'm like, you make it look so simple. When I do it, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm probably making my face worse. No, I'm putting liquid and all the things that you're supposed to be getting rid of back into the center of my face.
No, you're doing great. You just pull away from the face and down through the lymphatic system. There's a lot. I don't do, I am no expert on gua sha. In fact, it's an ancient Asian practice. And so there's a lot of people online that do a really cool like gua sha for illness, gua sha for face shaping, like gua sha for everything. It's really cool.
Gua sha for everything.
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 Yeah, it's just cleansing the lymphatic system, which is like holds everything.
Yeah, but it works perfect with your products.
Yeah, with the oils, yeah.
Like were you already doing that before you started?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was always, not always using oil skincare, but like because of this exposure to like essential oils in general, I was gravitating more towards holistic as I drank my Diet Coke. You know, I've always been an in-between girly.
A gray area, yeah.
Trying where I could to sort of eliminate toxins and skincare is one that's just not regulated. I mean, there's just a lot of shit in your skincare. There just is. And people sell you a lot of crap.
Yeah, they do.
To make money. Yeah.
Yeah. So now you're in a warehouse.
Yes, we are.
And what made you be like, okay, it's time? Besides, obviously, growing.
I mean, honestly, we got kicked out of our townhouse. That's what happened.
Really?
Someone reported us. Yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Wait, was that the lawsuit? That like
no.
I've had a lot of fun
and I've had to look at these things and these like conflicts and not make them about me because I'm not a person that attracts conflict. Yeah. I'm not like we were talking about, I'm not a hater.
Yeah, you're not a hater.
I'm a lover. Kind of like, why am I having these problems? Like I've had to look at myself and be like, these are just adult problems sometimes. And sometimes we don't see eye to eye. And sometimes we don't agree with how things went.
You legit got kicked out.
We got kicked out. Yeah.
Like someone literally reported you.
But we were overgrown. I mean, we were in like two storage units and in a smaller warehouse and in the townhouse. And it was like such a cool lesson because it was a cool lesson in like, look, you're not listening. You got to move. You got to level up. You've got to be brave.
Yeah.
And you've and that big of a warehouse was so scary to me. And I was watching all these brands like go into these huge spaces. Yeah. And I was just like, I am an amateur. I am not that big.
Yeah.
So I cannot be that big.
Yeah.
And I was very much an imposter syndrome about it.
How'd you get out of that? Because I feel like
I was forced. That's what I'm saying. The universe will force you if you don't freaking learn it yourself.
But then even being in it now, do you ever have imposter syndrome? Because I remember you me just going back to all your posts. I remember you just recently being like, I feel intimidated or overwhelmed. Like all these people in this space of entrepreneurship, just like go, go, go and growing. And sometimes I feel this imposter syndrome.
Yes, I feel it all the time. I feel like we're completely self-funded. So we don't have outside funding. So we, Andrew and I like bankroll and all our payroll, all our purchasing, all our future manufacturing. So it's an enormous amount of money constantly just like spinning, you know, and he manages all that. And it's amazing that he's so amazing at it.
Yeah.
But it's overwhelming and it's scary because I'm like, who's going to sell this?
Yeah.
It's me. And I'm scared of that.
It's you.
Yeah. And I feel like I get intimidated and I get overwhelmed. But the other day I like posted about that and I said, I went home and I told Andrew, I was like in the warehouse and there were so many boxes. It was like filled up everywhere because it wasn't very organized.
Yeah.
But still, we're going to outgrow that warehouse soon. Yeah, and I was like just overwhelmed by the visual of it. And he said, you cannot be upset by how many boxes there are and also upset that you don't have product.
Yeah.
Like you have to pick
one. Your mind.
And I'm like, okay. Like it's a good problem to have what you need to sell to your customers. Like, and I'm learning to step into the confidence of our brand and what we offer and that we offer something unique and special and not unnecessary. I feel like we are only going to sell you what we believe you need.
Yeah.
And so I'm proud of that and I'm trying to lean into that more, that it's okay to grow small.
Yeah.
We're a small business. I'm proud of that.
No, you should be. Honestly, if I were you, I would just like sit in the warehouse alone and like just stare at everything for a second. Do you ever do that?
No, that's a good idea.
Like you should just like go by yourself one night and just sit there and be like, I did this. Like this is my another baby essentially. Yeah. And like that's incredible. And just like feel that moment and be present in that space of like, I did this. Cause it is so go, go, go. To take a second and acknowledge what you've done and the people you've inspired and helped. It's amazing, Jenna.
Oh, you're sweet. I love that idea because I am not a good celebrator. Of other people. That's what's funny. I am like the celebration queen.
Yeah.
My kids' birthdays. Everyone I love. I love. I celebrate them so hard. And me, I'm like, move on.
Yeah. Next thing. Don't worry. We're going on. Yeah.
Like, delete me. Cancel me. I'm moving on. Yeah. It's like, over. It's done. I'm not even here.
Don't give me any praise. No, stop. I'm self-deprecating. No, no, no.
Yeah. It's so bad.
Yeah, no.
I am trying to be a celebrator of myself. So that's something I'm going to do.
You should do it.
I love that idea.
You should do it. Last thing before we take out trash, I do want to talk about your ADHD. Because if you can't tell everyone, I have it too. I haven't been diagnosed, but over the place. But how did you get diagnosed? Like, how did you know, like, I should go to a doctor for this? Like,
yeah,
something's off.
I was 33 when I got diagnosed, which is, well, actually I got a diagnosis when I was a kid and I didn't know. My parents didn't tell me, which is kind of a funny, traumatic thing. Like, I don't know what.
Like, wait.
My mom was a school teacher and I think at the time it really was sort of
anytime like a kid had a behavior
scarlet letter, a really not good thing.
Yeah, yeah. I still think it kind of is, which is unfortunate.
Yes.
My mom's a teacher and she has to tell other parents it's okay. Help them.
Like, well, aren't all the kids ADD now?
It's bad.
Yeah, like the phones and the things. It just has made us all animals.
Yeah.
Well, I think she was trying to protect me. But so anyway, it's a double-edged sword because I think she was trying to protect me. And then also I probably could have had some resources and some tools that have helped me like with college and different things like that. Yeah. But I couldn't function, I guess, would be like a great way to put it. Yeah. I felt like lots of studies actually show that it's very normal for adult women to be diagnosed because they get by as children because they're charming, they're fun, they're all over the place, but it's
yeah.
cute.
Yeah.
And they get in trouble for talking in school and interrupting people, but like it's sweet or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
They're not like boys typically where they're like beating up people.
Yeah, they're acting out.
Violent, you know? And so they get misdiagnosed. They get forgotten, honestly.
So true.
As I'm getting more kids, as my work is growing, as my career is getting bigger, I'm like, I don't know where to go. Everything is so overwhelming. Like my brain is actually like short circuiting every second. Like I can't manage the life I built. And like, what do I do now?
Yeah.
I wouldn't undo any of my children. I wouldn't undo this career yeah. that's taking off. But like, how do I cope now? So that's how I got diagnosed. So I went to a doctor and I was just like, I do not feel good. Something is wrong.
At first, did they say maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's depression?
I thought it was anxiety.
Okay.
Because I was anxious, so anxious, so worried. And I was that way because I knew I would forget what yeah. I thought.
Yeah.
So my brain was like holding on to all these things at one time in desperation that I would forget it, knowing I would forget it, honestly. Yeah. And so then I was just like a mess. So I thought it was anxiety. And then they had me take a test.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they narrowed it down to ADD or ADHD?
It's ADHD. I don't know because isn't it – I think it's one and the same now. I hear all these things. There's seven types of ADD, but it's all ADHD.
Okay. And what did they do for you? What have you done for you?
They gave me Adderall, so I started on that. And, like, it was definitely a journey at first. I remember the first week of taking Adderall, I was a zombie, which is a great indicator that you actually do have ADHD.
I was going to say because, you know, like, that's why I'm saying I'm not diagnosed, but I think I have it because TMI, like – my husband would take Adderall sometimes just because, like,
yeah.
wasn't prescribed to him. But, like, in the sales world, people will take an Adderall.
People do that.
And he doesn't do it anymore because I nipped that in the butt because I was like, you don't need this. But I got tempted. And I was like, wait, you seem to be killing it. I'm going to take one. Zonked.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a second. You feel high. I'm going to go to bed. Like, yes. What's the difference? Like, what's going on? So that's crazy.
Yeah. I was like, And so that took, I'm Jenna, like very slow.
Yes.
Very like hard, like just yes. like very weird, like sensation. Sloth for like a, probably a week or two.
Okay.
While I got used to it. And then I loved it. I loved it for a while. I mean, it definitely had like weird
side effects.
Like the eating is so, I hate that part of it. I'm not on it anymore. That's an indication of how I ended up feeling about it. But I tried to navigate the medicine for probably 2 years. I keep hearing Vyvanse is the way, the truth and the light. Like it's better.
What is Vyvanse?
It's a stimulant. Adderall? Yeah, but it's just better. But I tried slow release Adderall, like which dumps into your system slower. I've tried fast release. I've tried a lot of different milligrams. I got a second diagnosis from a psychiatrist because I was like, I don't want to believe this family doctor just handing me Adderall. Yeah. That scares me. So then I went to a psychiatrist and they're like, yeah. So it reduced my anxiety. I was able to kind of build skills on Adderall like I was not keeping a calendar.
Okay.
So
now you're a calendar girl.
I'm obsessed with my calendar. So I was – that's what's cool is I feel like Adderall gives your brain a time to – sort of
to
rest
focus in and
focus
realize.
And sort of build systems, have the energy and the attention to build systems. And that's what I needed around my life. That was crazy. Like 4 kids in a business. Like I wasn't keeping a calendar. So I was always late to appointments, missing appointments, always in trouble, always 10 steps behind because I just had no idea what was next. And I thought I liked living that way. I thought it was like fun.
Yeah.
Or like breezy.
I don't know. We're just carefree, Jenna.
I'll be there when I can.
Yeah. You're going through ketamine right now.
Yeah.
Was your diagnosis a reason why you wanted to do ketamine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I navigated the Adderall thing for a while. And then I got in my skiing accident.
Yes. Another thing.
I mean.
Which I was like, do we add this to the list? Like, she tears her ACL, needs a surgery. So struggles stupid. With the fact that she's losing all her muscle and then
like, so stupid.
We keep going. This could be all day. Like, so, this could be all day.
It's embarrassing.
I love it.
I hate it. I hate me.
But you tore your ACL.
I know. I love me, but
yeah.
It's drama. So I tore my ACL in 2021. Yeah, spring of 2021. I can't believe it's been almost 3 years. It's crazy. It's
crazy.
So it has been 3 years. And I never got back on it. So I, because I was like in this recovery and I was like, I don't want to take Adderall. Like, what am I hyperfixating on? Like
the television?
Like laying here? Yeah. That's bad. So then I kept, after I was sort of recovering, I tried to get back on it and I just could not get in my groove with it again. And so I haven't been on it since.
Gotcha.
But I have been in like therapy since that time, just kind of working through how to like sort of naturally deal with the ADD and like find ways to cope and live a healthy life for myself and for my family. And my therapist was pushing me to ketamine for like a year and a half before I actually did it. She was like, you really need this. You really should do this. And I'm like, what was I thinking? Why did I wait so long? I don't know why I waited so long.
Because ketamine, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of mixed feelings on ketamine where it's like, oh, that's people are just doing it. Everyone's just doing it. Do you feel like it's something that anyone can do even if they don't have trauma or a diagnosis? Like if they could just be like, I'm feeling down, I want to try ketamine. Do you feel like it's a good thing for that or you should take it seriously?
Well, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know. You're not a doctor. I know nothing mostly about life, but my experience is that it's changed my life and that I love it. So
how has it been? Like, what is it like for you?
So I just actually did my ninth treatment yesterday and now I like did the first six and now I'm just kind of doing as needed, like once a month.
Yeah.
It feels like, for me, it feels like my brain and body are finally separated from each other and my brain can take a rest. And that doesn't mean it's not hard. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard work. And a lot of emotions come through and it can be confusing. It can be overwhelming. It can be emotional. It can be fun. It can be peaceful. It can be – you just kind of run that – the course of a lot of different things in your session. Have you
ever experienced a keyhole?
Yeah, keyhole.
The dark keyhole.
I think that every – I don't – again, I don't know a ton about it. But, like, I would imagine that if you're getting a therapeutic dose, you are in a keyhole. Like, that's gotcha. – but to me, when people describe a keyhole – that they've K-holed recreationally, like that's a lot different. You're not in a setting with a doctors therapist and like someone that can help you
work through that.
Yeah. Like you're like if you're at a party and you took that much ketamine, I cannot imagine. Like that would feel insane.
Horrible.
Yeah, because there's parts where I can't feel my body.
Yeah. And so you have had like darker – have you ever had like darker emotions? See, that's what scares me is like have you ever left a session and felt worse?
No.
Okay.
Not okay, once.
Well, that's really good.
I do think your set and setting is incredibly important. Finding a place and a person. Like there are treatment centers that you go in and I toured a bunch where it is like a hospital. It is bright lighting. No one is in there with you. They hook you up to the IVs and you just like go it alone. No. That's just not for me.
Yeah, that would scare me.
Yeah. So do your research.
Do you mind sharing where you go or do you want to keep it
private? Yeah, I can't. I'm not going to share where I
go. Don't show where you go.
But I love my facilitator and she's just so great and such a safe space for me. And it's just been, I don't know, it's just been life changing for me. But like I can't, it's hard because I know it's kind of a cash cow right now.
Yeah.
So like I hate to be like, everyone go do ketamine because like you need to do it in the right way.
For sure. But that's so amazing that it's like been so good for you.
It's just helped with the neuroplasticity of the brain. Like I've noticed – I can be in my house and it's messy and I am okay with that. I wish it was clean, but before it would piss me off. Like because my brain is working on overdrive all the time, clutter, mess, chaos, which I'm naturally going to live in with four children, was so disrupting to my inner peace that I was just angry a lot more than I needed to be. And now I feel like I can just be like, this is a natural part of life. Like there are messes. And we clean them up. And I think that's maybe how normal people are.
Yeah. You're kind of describing me because everything you're saying, I'm like, I'm pissed all the time. I don't remember anything. My brain's going a million miles an hour. So I've like really thought about ketamine and I've had companies reach out because like you said, it's kind of a cash cow right now.
It is.
Being like, we'd love to, you know, sponsor if you come do ketamine. And it's scary because like I want to do it for reasons for like me, not for like a money grab of any sort. Because I have heard so many amazing things and I do feel like I'm somebody who would benefit a lot from it. So
I think you would.
I'm very intrigued. Every person I've talked to has had a great experience.
I listened to your Demi episode, and I was like, I just love her for sharing this because it really is like been such a life changing medicine for me. And I don't know. I just think it's so beautiful, but obviously I can't speak
for everyone.
I would hate for someone to go do it and then just have this like terrible experience.
Yeah.
So I guess my suggestion and my suggestion advice to you is like, sure, work with those companies, but like ask questions, get curious, say like, will there be someone in there with me? I want to go meet that person. Is it someone I connect with? Is it someone I feel safe with? Because you can talk if you want to. And I talk my whole session.
Okay.
And I'm sharing deep, deep parts of me. And
it's a therapist in the room with you. See, and that's probably so beneficial.
Yeah, and she asks the right questions, and we're navigating it together. Yeah. And there's like always an intention behind my session, like, what do you want to get out of it today? And you know, yesterday I was like, I really want to look at this rejection that I feel. I want to feel why. I want to understand and navigate this, and like release this for myself. And the whole, it's just amazing. The medicine takes you exactly where you want to go, and places you don't want to go, but really, it's all serving you so beautifully.
That's amazing. That's
cool.
Out of everything that you feel like you've learned and that it's helped you with, what has probably been the most beneficial that you've learned from your ketamine treatments?
I would say that I can observe waves and I don't have to ride them. I'm a person that as an empath and as a sensitive people pleaser in my past, I'm trying to not say that is who I am now. Yeah. I want to ride the wave with you. If you're mad, I'm mad. If you're upset, I'm upset. If you're chaotic, I'm chaotic. Like I want to match be that. In the wave with you because I want you to feel seen and heard and understood. I'm serving people and I want to be in the depths with them and I want to feel what they're feeling. And it's like, it's a lot. It's too much for a person. And so now I feel like I have this ability to look at something, look at the hard things and say, that's your hard thing. And I can love you and I can see you. And I can be there for you and I don't have to do this with you. I don't have to write this with you. And for me, that saved me.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really cool.
How many more sessions do you think you'll do?
I'm just like down to once a month now. Like I'm kind of scared. I like having one on the calendar.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, because it is therapy. It's therapeutic. It's a good way for you to release emotion and feel.
Yeah.
Because like you said, you've never left one feeling worse.
No. And my therapist was like, my talk therapist was like, I love when my clients start going to ketamine therapy because our whole sessions change. Like it accelerates so much healing that you cannot access in talk therapy. And I love that she was so humble. Like she's like, I can't do what this medicine can do.
Yeah. Was like honest about
it. Yeah, it was cool.
I wonder what it is that has made it more accessible to people. Like, do you know? Because I feel like it's been around forever.
Yeah, it's been mostly people know it as a party drug.
Yeah, it was a party drug. So, like, I wonder what caused people to be like, oh, let's use this beneficially and help people. Because now it's, like, changed people's lives.
Well, did you hear that, like, psilocybin, which is mushrooms, and MDMA, which is Molly, has been, like, legalized in Utah in, like, hospital settings?
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, that was like this week.
Well, because I know a lot of people who microdose mushrooms and it has changed their lives. I didn't know that was legalized though.
Well, it's not like legal recreationally or whatever, but like from what I understood, it's like starting to be legalized in hospitals. Like people, so I think from what I understand, these drugs have been around forever.
Yeah.
Got banned because
of recreational
use. We're scared.
Use,
it's crazy. It's getting out of control in a recreational setting. But then people are coming in and doing research on these drugs and they're like, wait, these are actually beneficial to people. Let's bring them in this type of setting.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I understand about it. So maybe ketamine's been around forever, honestly.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see. And I hope that it continues to help people and that it doesn't fade because, like I said, so many people have had so many positive experiences that like – I hope it doesn't just like everyone's talking about it, then all of a sudden nothing and then it's on to the next thing because it really has changed so many people and I'm glad it's helped you.
Yeah, it's been super great for me.
Well, Jenna, thanks for letting me do a dumpster deep dive in you. But do you want to take out some trash?
Sure.
Before we end? What's happened this week? Do you remember any? Personal Trash is brought to you by Hello Seconds. HelloSeconds is a high-end thrift store located in Linden, Utah, that offers a unique shopping experience for everyone. With a wide range of clothes, home decor, and accessories, HelloSeconds is the perfect place to find hidden gems at affordable prices. You can find brands like Free People, Lululemon, Nike, Anthropologie, Zara, and etc. There are so many amazing brands that you can shop from. At HelloSeconds, the focus is on embracing personal style without breaking the bank. Bougie on a budget. The store believes that fashion shouldn't have a high price tag, and they strive to provide customers with fashionable options at affordable prices. With a constantly changing inventory, there's always something new to discover at HelloSeconds. And not only that, but one of the standout features of HelloSeconds is the affordable booth rental option, where you can make 70% of your sales. Yeah, just selling clothes that you no longer wear that is another person's treasure. Sellers can rent a booth for $20 a week and receive assistance from staff in promoting and selling their items daily. But if you mention Weekly Trash, you will get that rental for free. So join the community of fashion-forward individuals who appreciate the thrill of finding amazing deals at HelloSeconds. Whether you're looking to update your wardrobe or decorate your home or make some cash, HelloSeconds is the place to go. And I have great news because HelloSeconds now has a website. Go to HelloSeconds.com and use code TRASHERS when booking to get your free booth rental. Love ya.
Okay, so this is just like stuff we hate?
No, it's anything. Trash is anything we consume. It can be something funny that happened, something bad that happened, something exciting, something devastating, something just random. Like, I'll go first. People always text me and they'll want to be like very like kind and just intimate with me, and so they'll call me Jos instead of Josie, J-O-S. They'll just say Jos. They'll be like, hey, Jos, like, what's up? But a lot of people spell it J-O-S-E, which is Jose. So I'll read this super kind message that's supposed to be so like sweet and enduring and kind, and it starts with, hey, Jose. And I'm like,
and you're like, I don't know her.
I know you meant to say, hey, Jos, but it's hey, Jose, and I can't unsee. And it happens all the time, all the time. So now I just am like, okay, we're going to like go past that and just pretend like you didn't say hey, Jose. But if you did, that's fine too. Even sometimes with the Chick-fil-A line, they'll be like, Jose. And I'm like, yep, that's me.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. But yeah, that's my trash this week is my spelling errors.
I'm trying to think if I have like an alter ego, like that they always spell Jenna.
Well,
Jana is like the alternative.
Yeah, no, I guess I've kind of talked about this a little bit, but I'm interviewing in Nashville Jana Kramer.
I love her.
Love her. But I kept getting
that's them, so exciting.
I know. I kept getting them mixed up, you and Jana, because it's like Jenna, Jana.
Yeah.
And so totally. I was like going through my notes and I kept being like, if I mess up and call Jenna Jana, I'm gonna punch myself in the face.
Like, no, you could do that to me, but like she's a real life celebrity. I can't call her Jenna.
I'm like, hey, Jenna.
Yeah.
She's like,
you can get her wrong with me all day, but you can't get her wrong with her.
She just stands up and leaves.
That's so fun. Are you going there this week?
I leave on the 30th.
That's April. So big. Congratulations. Yeah, that's so big time.
I'm excited. I've been a huge fan of her forever. I used to listen to her podcast. She still does it, but I started listening when she had it with her ex-husband. And I've been following along her crazy journey. She's also lived a million lives.
Yeah, I'm loving her new life with her new guy.
Yes. It seems fun. And her baby's just the cutest, chubbiest. I hope I get to meet him. I hope I get to squish him and give him a snug. But she probably is like, no, you're a stranger. But
maybe.
I
just love babies. You could try.
I'm going to try.
Yeah.
I'm normal. I swear. I'm normal.
I'll hug the babies.
I'll call you Jana, not Jenna. I promise. any other things this week? There's a new show on Netflix. Do you watch shows?
No.
You're not a show. Are you a reader?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I used to be a big time showgirl. Not showgirl, but
just high kicks.
No, I feel like, yeah, I don't mean to keep bringing up ADD, but it's really hard for me to keep my attention on a show.
Yeah.
I watch Love is Blind. I'm basically sounding like a liar. I have watched some recent shows and Love is Blind. I got into it.
It was good. It was good this season.
I've never watched any of the other seasons. I watched this season because I had FOMO.
The finale?
And I couldn't understand. I cannot.
No, the finale.
I cannot.
When What's-His-Face came out and they called him out for literally coming on the show to basically get famous as he's texting his girlfriend, I love you, we'll get married when I get back.
When I was dying when he was just silent.
No,
just
the level of uncomfortableness I felt. But then AD, when she was like, come on, say it with your chest. I was like, yes,
get out. I love AD.
AD is a queen. I'm obsessed.
She is everything.
I'm obsessed. She
I felt bad character. For the Megan Fox girl. And I opened up about Chelsea, that online.
Yeah.
And I said, she's Megan Fox adjacent. Like, she's not totally
totally wrong.
She is not Megan Fox.
No, she's not.
Let's be clear.
Nobody's Megan Fox. Megan Fox is Megan Fox.
People think I look like, what's her face? I said it online. Blair from Gossip Girl.
Oh, I totally see that.
And I don't see that.
I can see that.
But do I look exactly like her just because people say, who do people say you look like?
Nobody. A homeless person on the street that's on drugs. I don't know. Like, I look like nobody. I don't know.
Like, I'm trying to think who you look like.
I don't look like anybody. I wish if somebody came up to me and was like, Josie, you look like, I don't know, Jana Kramer, I'd be like, oh my gosh.
Thank you.
Yeah. But no, I don't get that ever.
But she got, someone told her that.
Yeah, no, and she believed it because she kind of does. Like, there's similarities. No, there was like an AI that somebody created where they like did Megan's original face, like before the nose job and stuff. And then they put Chelsea's face and then they like kind of tweaked both the faces and they looked identical. So there is, it's there.
Felt bad.
No, and I think attacking people for like how they look.
That's harsh.
Is just so mean.
Yeah.
And she took it and handled it very well. Like, she should be proud of herself. Like, she made jokes. She was able to like keep it lighthearted when probably at night she was probably depressed and crying. But like, she was able to be like, oh, that's funny, you guys, you know, and she should be proud of herself because I would have been a hot mess if I was like.
But she was a hot mess.
She on the show, she was a hot mess. They are Hot Mess Express.
She needed. I was felt so. I'm like, you're inner child. You need soothing. No. And it's not this guy.
No.
You are not going to get.
They were not meant for.
No.
No. But then there's rumors they're dating.
I know, because they were like all cutie at the end of the thing.
Yeah. But,
and you're going to choke, girl, is unbelievable. I follow her now.
Oh.
She's gorgeous.
And she's going to be in Perfect Match.
What's that?
It's another TV show on Netflix with Nick Lachey is like the host. And I'm Nick Lachey.
The Lachey's kill me. They kill me.
I can't. Did you read? I didn't read.
They're there for 30
seconds. No, they're there for 30 seconds. Did you listen or read the Jessica Simpson memoir?
No,
memoir? Is it called a memoir of their life? Autobiography?
Well, I don't know.
She wrote a book about her life. Whatever that is. It was so good, but now I can't look at Nick the same.
Why? Because like, was he rude to her?
No, he just like was jealous of her fame and success because like he was in the music industry too. And it's like Jessica was the one making the money and Jessica was the one getting the opportunities. And he was like.
She straight said that about him.
Yeah. Yeah. But then like at the end, she was like, no, like we're good. Like blah, blah. But you can tell there's some bad blood there for sure. And
Jessica Simpson hates Jessica. Oh.
It's been very clear because Jessica had made a comment saying that when she had her baby, Nick. And Vanessa sent over flowers. And Vanessa's like, no, we didn't. Instead of just letting it go, she's like, no, we did not send you flowers.
Okay. I didn't even know this.
Yeah, there's some pop culture trash for you.
But didn't Vanessa still?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Were they still married?
They had a music video together, didn't they? And that's how it all came to be.
I don't think
they were still married. In the book, it didn't sound like they were still married.
I could never be
in
a
the
celebrity.
In the book, Jessica was saying like she almost cheated on Nick with the guy from Jackass. I can't remember his name. He's pretty hot though. Freak, what's his name? Anyone can go look him up. But yeah, in the movie where she does the boots I'm made for walking, he was in the movie. And yeah, the book is really good. I don't read. I listen to it. But it was like,
did you listen to Britney Spears?
No, but I've heard all.
I've heard
about
it was a good one.
Britney makes me sad. Britney is just, it's sad. Do you follow her on Instagram? She's private now. But I follow her on my personal, so I still get to see it.
I thought I did, but now I don't know. I don't think I've seen her in a while.
She went private, which it's funny. She went private, but she has like 31 million followers or something like that. But now like she can't have new followers. But I'm worried about her.
To say the least. I'm looking. Can I look?
Maybe. Is it not popping up?
Well, I could have unfollowed her because not to be mean to her because I
no it's too much
it's it just was much. Making me feel bad and like
the nudity of her dancing and
oh
her
I don't follow
room.
Her anymore and yeah. she's not private
oh, she's
anymore.
Not private anymore oh
and her new name is Sheila Maria River Red I didn't.
No.
Yes.
No, no, no.
Pray for she's her. Changed her no. name oh. and she says she's a chef in the works.
Oh, Brittany.
Yeah, I had to unfollow. And Brittany, if you're listening, I am obsessed with you.
Brittany's listening.
I sure. love you. You are an icon of my childhood. I wanted to be Britney Spears. That's it's same. Just, I just feel so sad.
I feel connected to her in a weird way.
And the people being, I know, and the people being mean to her really, really get to me. It's like, there's just, it's too much.
I just feel for her. I really do. I wanted to be here. She's the reason why I started pulling my shirt all the way
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. And making boobs out of the
little,
this. Yes. And like it's showing so everyone. Hot.
Like that was the music video. Oops, I did it again.
I know.
Obsessed.
Obsessed.
Brittany, with we love Spears. You. Brittany,
she's we listening.
Love we love you.
Okay. I have, I guess, trash.
Yeah, give me some trash.
Associated with that is that I believe that I can make any celebrity my best friend. I actually believe that.
Same.
You do?
I believe that. I believe it.
I always believe that about it. Do you? I know for a fact if I could be with Khloe Kardashian for maybe 20 minutes, she would be obsessed with me. Oh, yeah. We would be best friends.
Okay, yeah. No, but
like there's certain people that I'm kind of like, I just know that like we would hit it off. You would love me so much.
So certain celebrities, not every celebrity.
Jesse Decker.
Oh, Jesse Decker, yeah.
Homies.
Her husband.
I love him. Did you watch their show?
Obsessed.
I loved their show.
My aunt, she lives in Denver, and she worked for like a new show. She There's Good Things Utah. She did that, but in Denver.
Cool.
And she got to interview him, and she was like, he's even hotter in person.
He is
like,
so unbelievable.
And she is stunning.
She's unbelievable.
Their kids are so cute.
I want their Nashville house. They were selling it for a while, and I was like, I'm moving there. To Nashville.
I've never been. I'm so excited to go.
It's amazing. It really is magical.
I'm probably going to want to move there.
Totally.
But like I can't. My roots are here, but like I think I'd want to. But there's definitely celebrities where I'm like, we could be besties, but there's also celebrities where I'm like, you would take one look at me and be like, you're so annoying. Like, get out of my house.
You think?
Who? Billie Eilish would hate me. Billie Eilish would be like, you're the most basic bitch I've ever seen in my life. Get out of my house.
Okay. I don't follow a lot of celebrities. I'm not like into a lot of like I know your whole thing is like
I love celebrities.
Yeah, you love celebrities and you love like their storylines.
I think it's fun. I'm trying to think of like another one that would absolutely just be like, you're so annoying.
What about JoJo Siwa?
Oh my gosh, JoJo Siwa. Okay, that's some trash. Her most recent Call Her Daddy interview with the hat. I couldn't. It's was, like sway. Like take it and I off, love, JoJo.
What's the host's name?
Alex Cooper.
Alex, how she's just like, what are you wearing? Yeah,
like, please, why?
Like, can you imagine having to stare? What if I was wearing that this whole time?
No, Jenna, I would tell you to take it off. Yeah, I'd be like Jenna, I'm your ADD so could sorry. Never. I'm so sorry. I will get you another hat if you need a hat. Like, I will any hat in my house.
Your ADD could never handle like a hanging.
I can't even watch the clips.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's bad. And did you watch JoJo's music video?
I finally did because my niece was telling me about it. She was like, it's really bad. And
it's
the dancing. I was the shake.
It's just uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I watched her say the other day, she's like, oh, I'm waiting for Abby Lee and my mom to like comment on this about all my mistakes. And I felt that.
Yeah, I felt that.
Because I'm a dance mom and I felt that.
She has like so much money. I'm surprised the production was so bad. Like it looked like. Everything was obviously green screen and you could tell. It was just not good.
She's owning who she is and I'm always inspired
of
by
course.
That.
Of course.
I think that's cool. I just don't totally get it.
I don't
but
get
I'm
it.
But I'm old now, so maybe that's it.
No.
You're young
no,
and
no,
you don't get
no,
it.
No. Nobody gets it.
I don't like think, literally no one.
I don't think anyone on the internet is like, I want to be JoJo Siwa. Like, I think everyone's like, what is she doing?
Do people like the song?
No.
Okay.
And the song isn't even one of her songs. The song was written by... I don't even remember who, but it was first given to Miley Cyrus in 2012.
I love Miley Cyrus. I know I
like,
could.
Yeah, me and Miley, we would fuck yeah. together. Absolutely. Not fuck together. Like,
maybe.
You might. I don't know.
You could.
Like, if I swung that way, like, totally. I probably totally would fuck
she's
Miley Cyrus.
She's so hot.
No, she's a babe.
Yeah.
Hannah Montana was my girl. Like, obsessed. But no, she got offered the song, said no. So they gave it to like some smaller artist and it was back in 2012 and JoJo, I just think recreated the song. I'm not quite sure how she got the rights to it, but it's like not her song. Like it was someone else's song.
And here we are.
And it's just so bad. But I watched Jojo Siwa in the, Special Forces. Special Forces show. Jenna?
I had never watched that.
It's like where they put celebrities through these like insane challenges that they put Special Force Navy SEALs through. What?
And they like,
what? And they like do well. Tyler Cameron did it and Nick Vile. And they, and another girl.
I love Nick Vile.
She was a Olympian.
Is Nick Vile the cute bachelor
that has guy? A podcast?
Yeah.
Vile Files.
He's cute, right?
Yeah, he's cute.
Is he a good guy?
I think he's a good guy. I think he was a little like cringy fuck boy, but like okay. He's a good guy now.
I don't follow still.
No, and he has a fiance. There was like drama there. We're like going so into pop culture right now. There was drama there because like his fiance was like 20 and he's like 34 or something. And people were like, ew. Like,
okay.
Why is she like, why are you dating women so young?
See, I always hesitate just being like, I like that person because I'm actually don't.
I like everybody.
It's like, I just don't know. I actually don't know if they're a good person or not. I'm just like, I just like them.
Like, yeah.
But then I say it and I'm like, well, what if they're actually just a really,
you know what?
Bad person.
So that just means you have like such a loving heart. You're so accepting.
Is and that what
I
is?
Appreciate that. I do.
Maybe Nick Vile is Vile. I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know.
Deep down, we really don't
he's
know.
He's cute.
We
I really thought he don't was
know,
cute.
Though. Like, he could be. The internet only shows us so much. We really don't know.
What are you going to talk to Jana about?
Oh, that's going to be the hardest layout to come up with because there are so many directions I want to go with. Like, I want to talk about One Tree Hill, obviously.
I don't want
to
be
anything other than what I've been trying to be.
Kate, Taylor. I do watch shows.
You watch shows?
I loved One Tree Hill.
No, loved.
I don't watch shows like some of my friends watch shows. Like, yeah. They are committed.
Yeah, no, I get that.
To
get
the
that.
Shows.
No, One Tree Hill.
One Tree Hill was everything to me.
Everything.
It's up there with Friday Night Lights for me.
Oh, Tim Riggins.
Forever.
Oh.
Clear Eyes, Full Hearts.
With Layla.
Layla.
And Tim.
Is
sex
so,
scenes. Goodbye.
I can't.
Goodbye. That was my
Let's
first.
Talk about Tim just drunk on the football field. Like, that's insane.
And he looks like he's 30 and he's 16 years old.
He's just 16 drinking a beer and then going out and playing
football. And getting
and
a
I'm
concussion.
Like, does that happen in Texas?
No. Can somebody please answer? Like, sound off in the comments. Like, does that happen in Texas?
Because
like,
in Utah, I don't, but also maybe.
No.
But I
know that. No.
Like, him stumbling onto the field.
Truly. Just like so drunk, wasted, gets off, the coach is yelling at him and he's like, you're drunk, Tim. He's like, like, what? No, it was a lot.
Tim was everything.
Is everything.
Is
still
everything.
Is. And he's still
coach
so
Taylor
hot.
Coach Taylor is too. Coach Taylor's hot.
Coach Taylor's wife, Tammy.
Tammy Taylor. Obsessed. Everything.
She was in Nashville, the TV
I
show. Did you watch
love
that?
Love Nashville.
I don't really watch TV.
I'm a liar.
I don't really watch TV. So One Tree Hill, Nashville.
It's true.
Friday Night Lights, like, oh, The Bachelor, blind.
But don't, okay, wait, what is like that now? Because I feel like I'm telling you old shows
no,
that
old
I used
shows
to be
are so much better.
Grey's Anatomy, like.
Yes, yes.
Vampire Diaries.
Oh, yes.
Like,
yes.
Back when Netflix used to still send DVDs. And, like, there yeah. isn't anything, I haven't gotten hooked like
well,
that.
Well, so that's what I, that's since. How this whole conversation started is because okay. there's a new show on Netflix called like the Three Body something. And it's so freaky and weird and like kind of graphic. So like, don't watch it if you don't like graphic stuff. But like, it's really hard for my husband to get into shows again. Like, we just never find a show.
Yeah.
And I thought we found this one, but then there's this part. I don't want to spoil it, but I'm like big on if there's kids or animals and something happens to them, I can't watch. Like, I'm done. Like, if a kid dies, if an animal dies, like, I'm done. Like, I'm out. I'm going to go watch The Office. Like, I just
yeah,
can't.
It's too much.
And there's, like, a part in the scene where, like, something sad happens. And I'm like, no, goodbye. But he's still, like, in it. And so I have to listen to it as I'm falling asleep. And it is the worst thing on the planet. So, but maybe you guys, if you're listening, if you like deep graphic shows, the creator of Game of Thrones is one of the producers
okay.
of it.
So it's fantasy. It's fantasy. I
wouldn't say it is fantasy, but like it low key could happen. It's kind of about like the future and aliens.
I'm not here for that. I like dumb shows.
Dumb it down for me.
Like I like high school romance.
Yep. Yeah. No, same. And there's nothing
push
like
me
that
up
now.
Against the locker vibes.
No, The Summer I Turned Pretty. Was trying to
yes,
do that, but
it was
the acting,
trying.
The acting wasn't great, but I still loved it.
Like,
I was still
enjoyed myself. I like to
okay,
have
so
fun
another
watching
show
a
you
show.
Watched.
I watched that show, but I tried to watch what's the one now with this one day?
Oh, I heard people were crying, and I said, nope, that's the thing. I can't handle sad.
They weren't. hot enough for me. I need the people to be like
hot.
10 times hotter than I'll ever be. And I don't know why.
And that doesn't exist anymore. Because even in the summer I turned pretty, I was like, yeah, you're like attractive, but like you're not Tim Riggins.
You have to be Tim Riggins. I just need that.
You're just not. And that's
I need Dr. McDreamy. I just.
Dr. McDreamy, Stefan, yes. Damon.
Come on.
Like, give it to us. Give it to us. No, I agree. I agree. Okay, let's end with Trash Topic Can. You're going to pick a topic out of this trash can.
Oh, wait. This is cute.
Trash Topic Can is brought to you by Road to Baby. Did you know that 1 in 8 people in the U.S. alone struggle with infertility and have difficulties growing their family? The team at Road to Baby understand the pain and frustration that can come with infertility, and they are there to help you navigate that often bumpy road to parenthood. Road to Baby is a surrogacy, egg, and sperm donation agency based out of San Diego, California, who connects those in need with surrogates, egg donors, and sperm donors to help them grow their family. Road to Baby believes in fairly compensating those who make these dreams of parenthood come true. First-time surrogates working with Road to Baby receive a minimum of $56,000 for their incredible dedication. Egg donors are generously compensated at $10,000 per donation, and sperm donors each earn $5,000 for their first donation. If you've ever considered becoming a surrogate, egg donor, or sperm donor yourself, I encourage you to reach out to Road to Baby. You have the power to change lives and make parenthood dreams come true. And wait, there's more. If egg, surrogacy, or sperm donation isn't for you, but you know someone who might be a perfect fit, you can earn $1,000 in referrals for egg and sperm donors and $6,000 or more per surrogate referral. If you or someone you know is struggling with infertility, remember that you are not alone. The experts at Road to Baby are there to help you navigate this often challenging path to parenthood. Their experience and guidance can make all the difference in your journey. Road to Baby exists to help growing families and creating a life-lasting connection and making dreams a reality. If you're ready to take that first step or just curious to learn more about the process, schedule a free consultation with Road to Baby. Visit www.roadtobaby.com. roadtobaby.com. It's cute or it's scary. One of the two. We don't know.
Okay.
Could be anything.
Oh, here.
Could be. Oh, is there?
Is it two?
No, I think it's just one.
Okay.
And then we'll both answer it and then we'll sign off.
Ooh.
What does it say?
When have you felt your most confident?
Oh, this kind of goes with what we were talking about a little bit in the beginning.
Yeah.
When have you felt your most confident? Or I'll take it.
Well, the initial thing I'm thinking is like right after I have a baby. I literally think I am. The queen.
Do you go unmedicated?
I have 3 times, yeah.
When was your first not?
My first wasn't.
Okay. What made you decide to do unmedicated the other 3 times?
I think I just wanted to try.
Yeah.
I just thought it would be cool. I didn't really have a thing against epidurals or like some big.
You just want to do it.
I was kind of like more holistic too at the time, but like it just kind of, I thought, I like overcoming things. I really do.
You're good at it. You've overcome a lot.
I like to just like do hard things. I'm trying to actually be better about just like doing fun and easy things.
Yeah. Not so intimidating.
But I do feel really your body is a challenge, but like I just feel
on top of the world.
Like you're supposed to. Like you just I have just done the most amazing thing ever.
I feel that.
I'm really proud of me.
I feel like a lot of women could agree with that answer. Yeah. I've never done. Well, that's not true. My first was like unmedicated, but like not by choice. So it wasn't like an empowering thing. It was like, I'm going to kill myself.
But you don't feel empowered even like.
No, I felt empowered, but like. It was traumatic.
Sure.
I feel like where I felt empowered was probably when I ran my first half marathon. I want to clarify half. Okay. Half. Not a full. Never.
I've run 2 halves. I understand. Two halves do not make a whole.
I did a half marathon and I was like, people turn around and do it again. Like
insane.
Like they're drug addicts. Like, well, how are they doing? Yeah. Are they on some crazy drug? Like how they are. It's called a runner's high.
Yeah.
But my runner's high ends at the 20, not even the 20. What am I talking about? The 12. Like I can't, no, there's no runner high for me. But after my first half marathon, I looked like I felt really good. I think any hard thing can make you feel just so confident.
Yeah.
So go do a hard thing, you guys, or be chill. Either way.
It's up to you.
But I agree. I think those two things definitely can make any woman feel confident. Look wise, though, has there been a day where you just like felt yourself, like your outfit?
Looks wise, I always feel super confident. Not always, but like I feel really confident during sex.
Oh,
yeah.
That's incredible. Have you always been that way?
No.
That's like a recent
thing? No, that's like a really recent thing for me.
Because what's your advice? Because I think I get questions like that in Trash is Trash. Like, how do I feel more confident in sex? And my advice is like, turn off the lights.
That does help. Setting the mood helps. But I feel like just as you step into like more of your own power of who you are, it automatically like resonates with your sex life. Like, I just feel like the more I feel like myself and I'm more in my own body,
yeah,
and I'm not floating away all the time and my thoughts aren't running away with me and I'm like, wow, I'm really something.
Yeah.
Like, it's goddess energy. It's giving queen. It's incredible. Like, you have so much power, especially in the bedroom.
Yeah.
You're everything to your man.
No.
Or truly. You should be.
Yes.
And like, Andrew makes me feel that way. So I like, I just feel like.
Are you a lingerie girl or are you?
I am sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. What about you? It's fun. Lingerie is so fun.
We're in the phase of life where it's like, are we doing it tonight?
Like, I know. And we get that way too. Like,
you know,
yeah.
We're kind of in that just rut of like day to day. You have 3 kids under 5. You're just every day's just getting up and doing it. And at night, the last thing I want to do sometimes is like go get sexy.
Have sex in the day. That's the best piece of advice.
We're never together during the day.
Does he go to work?
Yeah.
Like a 9 to 5 every day.
Not every day, but majority of the time. And during the day, it's like, what are we supposed to do? Hey, kids, watch a show. Mom and dad are going to go fuck. Like,
yeah.
What? Okay. All right, we'll try it.
Tell me how it goes on a Saturday morning, on a Sunday morning. Okay. Night sex is like,
I'm trying to de-stimulate.
I know exactly what you mean.
And so it's like, we're laying in bed and I know that like, obviously he wants to do it.
Of course he does.
And so I'm like, I like it when we're doing it, but it's just like, oh,
I know.
I'm comfy. I'm snuggling my blankie. Like, I'm a blankie.
My skincare is on. I'm soaking in my serums. And now you want to freaking get me naked. Like please.
Like, can I just take my pants off and lay here? Like,
I know.
You know, but
try.
Okay. We're going to try it.
Try the daylight hours. I think it's a lot to ask of a woman at night.
It is. Well, and I used to be a very sexual person. Like, I like sex, but I'm in that rut right now where I'm just tired.
I think that's normal. We've all had that experience and like all have, I still have my ups and downs for sure.
But I'm going to have to do the day sex. We're going to schedule it in, but like, I don't want to schedule it in. I want to be spontaneous. I want to just like jump on him.
I think that like scheduled sex is good too. I follow a sex therapist that really recommends that.
Okay. Then maybe I will.
It feels boring and sad.
Like, okay, but 2 o'clock on Friday.
Yes, but I feel like going back to the calendar thing, it's just kind of like, what's important to you? What are your priorities? Like, that's a priority to you. So, like, put it in.
Okay.
Literally.
Literally.
Get it in.
Get it in. Get it done.
Right now.
Get hard right now. Love, Jenna. Thank you so much for coming on here.
Thanks
and taking
for having
out trash.
Me. This was really fun.
This was so much fun. You're welcome back anytime. You should start back up your podcast, and I would love to be on anytime if you ever need a guest of somebody.
I would love that.
I talk trash.
I was carrying it by myself. Is that hard, your solo episodes?
Solo episodes are hard.
Yeah. I thought it would be easier because of like scheduling and like people and like, but it is hard on its own.
With the solo, you really have to have an outline.
Totally. You have to have good things to say.
If you just wing it, you're going to end it and be like, what did I just say? Should I delete all of that? That was garbage. And even if it wasn't, it's just like in your head because you're like, I don't even know what I just said. And so solos are hard, but I think you were really, really good at it. And that's a hard thing to be good at. A solo podcaster is a talent. It's not something you can learn. And so you were really good at it.
Thanks. I loved it. It was such a fun thing. It's such a unique, like, think of all we shared today. Yeah. I can't do this on stories.
No, podcasting is such a vulnerable form of content.
Totally. Anytime I leave a podcast, I'm like,
a little bit of a hangover.
What did I say?
Yeah. No, for sure. No, but really, you are amazing and I love you and thank you for being here.
I love
here.
You. Thanks so much for having me here.
I hope you guys have the best week and don't forget to take out your trash. Bye.